You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Cashman. I'm going to be joined by Rhett Bollinger to talk about a Twins team that it looked for a while like they might avoid the 90 loss threshold, although the way things have gone here, especially the last week or so, looks like very good chance of the fourth consecutive 90-loss season. Had a chance to talk to Ron Gardenhire a little bit about that last week, and he said what you expect him to say. They're not really, at this point, once you're out of the playoffs, not really focused on the exact one-loss record, more focused on seeing some young guys that they have to see for next year. But let's bring Rhett in to talk about that. Rhett, you know, obviously a disappointing season. More uncertainty now with the leadership and what they'll do with Gardenhire or what Gardenhire will do this offseason if he comes back for next year. But in general, what's your perception been of that 90-loss number, what it means to the guys in the clubhouse? Is it a source of frustration or something they were looking to avoid down the stretch here? Or is it just a product of playing some young guys here in the final stretch?
It's definitely frustrating. I think coming into the season, the Twins thought maybe this would kind of be the bridge here to being competitive. I don't think anyone thought the Twins were going to, make the playoffs or anything this year. But I think people thought, okay, they spent some money on Nolasco, on Hughes, Pelfrey, Suzuki, added some pieces. They thought, okay, maybe kind of get us closer to 500 even to build on for the next season. Maybe get guys like Miguel Sano and Byron Buxton up here to get a taste of it. That didn't happen. As we know, Buxton and Sano were hurt pretty much the entire season. Twins are en route to another 90-loss season, so in that sense, it is frustrating. I think the Twins are hoping for better. And early in the season, they had a tough schedule, and they actually kind of weathered it, and they're right around 500, for the first part of the season, and it's kind of just falling apart again. And it's got to be a little frustrating for the players. I think even this month, they wanted to kind of play spoilers a little bit, finish a little bit strong, and it just hasn't really happened. I think they're 2-8 over the last 10, struggled here, but they got a chance to kind of still play spoilers here down the stretch with a couple series against the Tigers and the Indians. So, I think they kind of want to finish on a better note, but at the same time, it's kind of been another season that's been frustrating for them.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about finishing on a better note, I mean, obviously a lot of that revolves around the rotation and looking ahead to next year. And Trevor May's a big part of that. He had maybe his most encouraging outing yet against the White Sox this past weekend, struck out 10 of the 23 batters he faced. He had 19 first-pitch strikes. Gave up 3 runs over 6 innings, but didn't walk anybody. That had to be a really good sign for him, just attacking the strike zone early.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now I think he's won his last 3 starts, which is a big, thing for him. Obviously, he probably couldn't have started any worse than his first start there against the A's when he walked 7 guys in like an inning and 2/3 or something. So that was kind of one of those things, okay, I'm going to keep giving him chances here because his next 2 weren't much better. But he showed why he's been a highly regarded prospect. I mean, to strike out 10 guys and not walk any of them was a big step for him. The Twins have only had 2 guys all year reach 10 strikeouts, and that's him and Phil Hughes. And no one had done it for the Twins, I think, in 2-3 years, which is kind of interesting that you can't get a guy to strike out 10 batters. But, the Twins are definitely a good sign for next season that May's starting to figure it out right now. If he would have scuffled all the way to the end, then you wonder, okay, does this guy, what are they going to do with him next year? Is he going to start again in AAA? If he can kind of continue that and make a couple more good starts down the stretch, I think he's definitely kind of solidifying his case to be a part of the rotation early next year. So definitely positive signs from him the last 3 times out.
Yeah, and looking a little deeper at that last start, it seems like he had a lot of trust in his changeup, and Kurt Suzuki was encouraging him to throw his changeup a lot. And that seems like a big key for him as well, isn't it, that secondary pitch?
Yeah, absolutely. That was the thing I think in his early starts, he was afraid to throw. It wasn't like throwing his changeup at all. It was misfiring with his fastball. And now it seems like his fastball command's back. He's starting to command his curveball, his changeup, some of the offseason stuff a little better. He talks about it. You don't hear it too often, but the difference in the baseball, from the minor league baseball to the major league baseball, is a little different, he said. But I think his first start especially kind of had to get used to that grip, and the way the ball is spinning on him, said, was not the way it usually, would for him. All of his fastballs are just kind of staying flat. And so I think for him it's kind of also important for him, not just a changeup, but just that his fastball now is getting that normal movement that he got in the minors is allowing him throw hard, but also to get some downward movement on it and get some ground balls too.
Yeah. Another thing, Rhett, from over the weekend, we've all had rain ruin our plans at one time or another. But I don't think any of us mere mortals have had rain cost us $500,000, which is a possibility for Phil Hughes potentially not reaching his 200 innings 210 inning threshold that would trigger a $500,000 bonus. Rain washed out a game Friday in Chicago and pushed him back a day, and now he's not lined up to start the last day of the regular season like he was. But I guess the bright side of that for Hughes and for the Twins is the fact that he's anywhere near that threshold. When he signed that contract, it was, you know, I had those incentives built in and just kind of, you know, hoping that was even in play. So the fact that he's getting towards the 200 innings mark is a big encouraging thing for this rotation going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been a great signing for this team. I mean, this guy's been an ace. If you look at, you know, stats like WAR on Fangraphs, he's top five in baseball right now. I mean, the guy's had a great year. I think there's a chance he could break the all-time major league record for best strikeout to walk ratio in a season. I believe right now it's close to 11, striking out 11 batters per every walk, which is pretty incredible. And he's thrown a lot of innings. You know, I think even more so in the last month or so, is more times he's been going, you know, 7-8 innings. Early in the year, he was still kind of going 6 here and there, but he's really gotten into a groove again, and he could not have been a better signing for this team. And the best part about it is they still have him for, you know, 2 more years after this one at $8 million a year, which sounds like a bargain. And at the time, when he got the deal, it was 3 years, 24, we're thinking, okay, this guy had a 5.19 ERA last year. Young guy, was only 27, but definitely some risk, and people probably were shaking their heads like, why would the Twins give this guy 3 years? And yet, now you look at it, and he was probably worth $24 million just this year, pretty much. So anything else is just extra. So, yeah, it was definitely a huge signing for them, and really encouraging that, really, truthfully, if you look at some of these stats, these advanced stats especially, he really is pretty much an ace. And the Twins definitely need someone like that in their rotation.
Yeah, especially as they you know, infuse some younger guys, you know, guys like May in particular, and maybe Alex Meyer next year. You need that steady hand. There's no doubt about it. And Ricky Nolasco has obviously not been especially steady for them. That's been a disappointment. But Hughes has paid off in a big way. And the other guy who hasn't paid off yet is Tommy Malone. Was given extra rest, 10 days rest, and then came, turned up with a sore neck to further push back his next start. We talked before, Red. I mean, 5 starts, an ERA over 7, but you know, hopefully the neck situation resolves itself quickly, and he's able to make a couple starts for him down the stretch and turn a corner.
Yeah, absolutely. And that'd be big for him, just kind of confidence wise, because, you know, even before he struggled with the Twins, he really was struggling at Triple-A, even with the A's. You never really know why. Some people thought maybe the frustrations of being in Triple-A when he knew that he was a big, big pitcher, because even when he got demoted, it was because of those big trades that he's made. I mean, his ERA was still in the mid-3s, but he struggled at Triple-A right around the time of the trade. And for Twins, he struggled, and, you know, he had some shoulder fatigue, and now the neck thing. So you wonder if he just kind of, obviously, been dealing with some injuries in the last few weeks there. And so I think the hope is that maybe he can kind of get healed up here soon. Maybe make a couple starts, or at least one good one, you know, before the end of the season to kind of finish on a good note. And then next year he'll be in that mix for the rotation. And at least they have, you know, better than in years past where they didn't really have much options. At least now they have some of these options. With Nolasco, as much as he struggled, he's looked a little better recently. And to have him and, you know, Meyer and you know, obviously we talked about Hughes and May. So, I mean, there's definitely some options in there for next year. And Malone's definitely a part of that equation.
Yeah. You know, a big source of fascination with the Twins right now is Kenneth Vargas and the way he jumped on the scene here and really showed himself to be have a knack for those clutch situations, those runners in scoring position situations. And Gardia said, you know, it's too small of a sample to read anything into that, but he's definitely shown that he can shorten up his swing if need be. But, you know, at the same time, he's also going through the adjustments. You had a nice story about him last week about the adjustments he's trying to make. You know, trying to increase that walk rate, trying to be more selective, trying to show he can handle more off-speed stuff. What's your overall read on Vargas? And, you know, sometimes these guys come up and they have these short spurts. You mentioned Chris Parmalee in September 2011 as an example of a guy who wasn't able to sustain that over, you know, the course of a career. What's your read on Vargas and as he's trying to make these adjustments at the big league level?
I think he's doing an okay job at it. The last week or so, he's kind of, you know, seen his average dip a little bit, closer to around 290, but he's still hitting for a good average. But, yeah, teams are definitely adjusting on him, throwing more breaking balls, more change-ups, that kind of thing. He's going to see a lot more of those going forward because he's such a, you know, good fastball hitter. But I think the thing that works in his favor is he does, you know, hit the ball the other way with authority a lot of times, too. He's not one of those cool, happy guys. And it also helps that he's, you know, he's not, he's a switch hitter, you know what I mean? So he's not going to see breaking balls breaking away from him. You know what I mean? He's not going to – you can't have, like, as much as he's always been compared to Ortiz, if he has half the career Ortiz had, that would be wonderful. But he's not going to see – you can't bring in a lefty specialist to face Vargas to try to get him to, you know, swing at a breaking ball and diving in the dirt away from him. With Vargas, you bring a lefty, okay, well, he's going to hit from the right side, and that's what he is naturally anyway. And he's got power from both sides of the plate. So, I mean, he really is – there's a home running at a Target Field a couple weeks ago that was one of the farthest ones I've ever seen at that park. He's got about, you know, as good of raw power as anybody, it sure seems like. So I think as long as he can kind of adjust to this, I don't know if he'll ever hit for this high of an average over the course of a season, but if he can be a guy that can hit 270, 280 and start to walk a little bit, I do think that he will, because his minor league track record, he walked about 10% of his plate appearances. Up here, it's been like 2%, but I do think it's one of those things guys do that when they first get up there. They want to make an impression. He doesn't want to come up here and look like a guy just trying to take a walk when guys are on base. He wants to come up here and do some damage, but I think as he gets older and matures and works with the hitting coaches here, he'll get better at that. But I do think that so far he's been obviously very good. I do think that he can be a kind of a DH of the future, but I don't know if he'll be quite as good as he's been so far this year. But I do think the Twins still have high hopes for him.
And then one interesting thing to watch in these last couple of weeks is Guardy does want to try to work him in at first base a little bit, just to, you know, see how he's progressed there. It seems like he's become a little more fluid there, but as you say, he's looking like a nice DH option for them in general as we go forward here. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Rhett for joining us. This has been MLB.com Extras Minnesota Twins Edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.